Bathurst Top 10 Shootout, originally the Hardys Heroes. It's a captivating made-for-TV event and the only time the shootout should ever be used. The best time of the day and the weekend overall belong to Cam Waters. He's been fast all weekend and now he's a Bathurst pole winner. But how stunning were the laps by Nick Percat and Chaz Mostert, both jumping from the bottom half of the 10 into contention. Both Red Bull cars struggled and Wincup got out of shape in the chase and dropped to 10th for the start. But with all the data from 3 days, Nev and I are going to pull out the crystal balls and tell you what's going to happen. This is Supercars in Review.
Well, top 10 shootouts, run and done. Clarkie, it's Saturday, it's all over. Well, the race is tomorrow. How you going? How you going, Clarkie?
Not bad. A shootout. I just love the shootout up at Bathurst. So it is the original. It's the best. You know, it's gone through its iterations over time. They've tried it with more than 10. They're back to 10. Awesome. What a great little session it was too.
Dude, it's one of the most exciting bits of the weekend. I heard some commentators saying the shootout and then the final 30 laps of the race. They're the two most exciting parts of the weekend.
Yeah, no, it's awesome because the great thing about this track, and what this is one of the reasons we just love it, because it is such a big, long, complex track, getting the perfect lap is almost impossible. Even Merth's lap of the gods had errors in it. You know, Cam Waters, and we'll give the spoiler now, who won pole position today with his shootout lap, said there were lots of little errors on the lap. And this is the thing about it. It's not an easy track. And that's why it works here as opposed to other places, the shootout.
Well, it's such a risky track to hang it out and do the fastest lap you can because you could bin it real easy. And as they quote all the time, risk versus reward, this is a track that rewards you if you take a big risk.
Yeah, it does. And, but it also can punish badly. I mean, we've seen some catastrophic offs in the shootout. I mean, everybody remembers Dick Johnson sailing through the trees in the green stuff Falcon and other things, but.
Well, you know, some of you will. Some of you haven't even been born yet who are listening to this. So, yeah.
Oh, well, it forms the teaser for the TV show, so they should be able to watch it then. If you haven't seen it now, just watch the teaser before the race tomorrow and it's all there. But, yeah, it is one of those ones. You know, as you say, risk and reward. You decide how much you want to risk. They're racing drivers. Most of them will risk everything for this lap. It is the one lap that counts to them in terms of these things. So they put it all on the line and off they go.
Well, as you said before, Cam Waters got pole. He actually got it quite early on in the shootout because he definitely wasn't the last person to go out. He set that benchmark, made everybody chase him.
Yeah, well, he was, of course, we knew the four fast guys were coming. So Waters, Holdsworth, Van Gisbergen and McLaughlin, not in that order, but they were the four guys who had the really fast times from yesterday. And Waters was the first one of them to do his lap. And, man, what a lap. It just hooked in right from the start. It looked sensational all the way from Hell Corner through to Murray's Corner. And beautiful, beautiful lap. Just flowed, did everything. There was a small mistake going into the dipper, which who knows how much time it cost him because it just gave him a slightly different line, which Chaz Mostert reckons actually helped him. But, it left people chasing. I mean, he stopped the clocks at 2:03.5592. That's a very quick time in
any books. That's the first three I've seen all weekend.
Yes, it is. It's the first three, yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's so significant. But he's on pole by 0.44 of a second. Like, this is a huge margin
nearly,
in supercar terms.
Nearly half a second. I mean, that was like, hey, Scott, hey, Chaz, catch me.
Everybody pay attention. But he's had speed all weekend, you know, right from the very first session. He topped all three sessions that he could do to start with, you know, so he's got plenty of speed in that car and they've just been fine-tuning it and fine-tuning it and fine-tuning it and they are going to take some beating tomorrow.
So he looked fast-ish kind of, but he didn't look like he was in command.
No, he didn't have his normal verve, did he? I mean, we know this guy can qualify like no one else. And you look at the data, like this is the 21st time out of 29 races this year he's qualified on the front row. Like that is a staggering, staggering performance in a season. He qualifies well. So to see him not be on pole, but, you know, that far away, with what was just ultimately a clean lap. It was nothing special. It was nothing over the top. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just a really clean lap at 4.0021. So well, didn't quite crack the three.
And then it was followed by Chaz, who you said was kind of, it went out there early and really laid down a lap. But the earliest one, first one actually on the track, who because he qualified 10th year, so he's Nick Percat. He's in fourth, right? He actually had a pretty good lap the first one up.
I know, and any time you got a six-spot gain in the shootout, you've done incredibly well. But his lap just looked beautiful. It was easily his best lap of the weekend. I think he said it's the quickest he's ever been around Mount Panorama. And just showed that, you know, with the weather and the weather possibly changing, he went out there on that first lap, set a benchmark and said, well, if it rains, you're not going to catch me. But even if it doesn't rain, I'm going to take some beating. So six-spot gain, really good lap. And after the troubled weekend they've been having, they've kind of really said to the people, you know, we've got the speed. We just hope the car can hang together tomorrow and we'll be okay.
Yep. Well, the gears, I expected more from him and he kind of disappointed me a bit.
Yeah, both the Red Bull cars seemed to be struggling. They were very taily. But I think that's been the story of the weekend. They haven't looked like they're easy cars to drive and really kind of struggling through the thing. And, of course, Wincup went off the track at the same spot the Giz was twitching as well. So they're not easy cars, those Red Bull cars. So once they take the edge off it from qualifying back to race, maybe it'll settle down and become a nice race car. But I wouldn't want to be racing a car like that for 161 laps.
Lee Holdsworth, he was the provisional pole sitter yesterday, got sixth.
Yeah, he just said that he just couldn't get the tyres up to temperature. You know, so he was quite aggressive across the top on his warm-up lap, but it just didn't help, and he just struggled his way through the whole lap. So I think he'd be a bit disappointed. Obviously, yesterday was a stunning day for him, but he expected a little bit more today. A bit disappointing.
What do you make of Anton Tipisgrali in seventh? He kind of, I expected more from even the guys down the back of this top 10. We all know it's the top 10. They're all good here. And I would have thought Anton would have been a bit higher up.
Yeah, well, Anton's drama is that he doesn't have a lot of straight line speed at the moment. So he's not going to be good for the race, by the way, if you haven't got straight line speed. Coming down Conrod Straight, if people are passing you, you're not going to win a race, are you? So that would be a big concern for them tomorrow, I reckon.
So what do you think the lack of straight line speed is? You know, they've got more downforce on the car?
No, they don't seem to. You would have backed it off a little bit for qualifying if that was your worry. I just think their engines aren't performing as well as the ones from the other Holden teams.
Okay. In eighth, Fabian Coulthard, no surprises there.
Yeah, it was just a steady lap from Fabs. He did drop two spots in the run, but it was nothing special. It was nothing daunting. Yeah, it was just a good, steady, safe lap saying, I'm not going to bin it. But, you know, that's his approach to the world. So they got plenty of speed for tomorrow, though.
James Courtney, he actually did a lap significantly slower than his qualifying time yesterday.
Yeah, it just didn't look good, did it? It wasn't hooked in. It wasn't working. He was struggling. I mean, he started ninth and he finished ninth, so you know maybe he got the benchmark where he should be, but could easily have dropped to 10th if Wincup hadn't had his drama. So, yeah, it just didn't work for him.
And then Jamie Wincup in 10th was on a cracker of a lap, then went from hero to zero coming out of the chase.
Yeah, he just locked the rears going in by the look of it and ended up carrying too much speed through and just drifted wide. Looked like it cost him about 2 seconds on that particular run. So I think he was sitting, the little markers were indicating he was in P2 or so. So it was a good lap, but at the end of the day, 10th spot is where he starts from. And not a big issue, you know. We know you can win from down there. I mean, people have won qualifying on the back of the grid. Chaz Mostert was last on the grid when he won the race and, you know, Wincup and Lowndes, I think, were seventh in the races that they won. So, you know, it's not a disaster by any stretch of the imagination. What is bad is the fact that the engineers, he says, got the weather wrong. They just didn't adjust the car properly for the wind coming down Conrod Straight. And they just were wrong going through that corner. So a bit strange, but, you know, they'll get it right, I would imagine. They've got a lot of very clever people in that team to sit down overnight and say, Jamie and Shane, we'll give you a better car.
Well, I'll go through the list again. In first is Cameron Waters. Second is Scott McLaughlin. In third is Chaz Mostert. In fourth, Nick Percat. In fifth, Shane Van Gisbergen. In sixth, Lee Holdsworth. Seventh, Anton Di Pasquale. Eighth, Fabian Coulthard. Ninth, James Courtney. And rounding out the top 10, Jamie Wincup. Okay, top 10. Clarky.
Yes, then what do we do now?
Well, you've been looking at all 3 days so far of practice and qualifying. Who do you reckon going to take this sucker out?
Well, it's really, really hard not to think that Cam Waters and Will Davison are serious contenders. I mean, Will's got to be an A-grade co-driver, so it gives him a lot of flexibility in terms of their race strategy. We know it's going to be raining for the first 2-3 hours of the race tomorrow, so you really do want to have a co-driver that you can trust who's going to be quick enough, but not do anything really stupid. So I reckon they're my tip at the moment.
They've been our tip all to the last 2 weeks, right? We looked at them, we go, we reckon these guys are on it. So yeah, I've been putting a bit of money on these guys.
And team-wise, they've been creeping up as well all season. They've just been faster and faster and faster. You know, Cam winning at Tail and Bend in the last race. And he just looks calm. He looks confident. I mean, I had a chat to him the other night, and he just seems completely in control of everything. And it's exactly where you want to be at this particular point in time. So I have them at the top of the A-list. So they're my A-plus at the
moment. Who else is in your A-list?
Well, it's the same as it was the other day, actually, so nothing's changed. I reckon McLaughlin and Slade are pretty good.
I might as well stop the episode right here then. Everybody go back and listen.
We change with the B-graders. It changes a little bit after we get through this part. So I've got McLaughlin, Slade at the top. I've got Wincup and Lowndes and Van Gisbergen and Tander. Yeah. But there's a little proviso on those. They've got to get the car right. They've got to make that car nicer to drive, or you're going to see those two cars binned in the rain.
I think they can do that.
I would think so. I mean, as I say, they're the best, or one of the best. I mean, DJR Team Penske is a pretty impressive outfit now. But Red Bull Racing, Triple Eight, they've been the best team for 15 years. They've got the best brains sitting in pit lane. I can't see that they'll get it too wrong tomorrow. So they've got to be contenders, those, you know, along with the other two. So they're my A-graders.
Okay. So your B-grade's changed.
My B-grade's changed, yeah, absolutely. I had Lee Holdsworth and Michael Caruso rated pretty high beforehand, but the speed that they've both shown all weekend has been really good. So they jump up. The other benefit for them is that they're on a different pit boom to Cameron Waters and Will Davison. So it opens up the strategy options for them, whereas if they're on the same pit boom, makes it harder. So one of the Red Bull cars will most likely suffer during the day because they're behind on the track and they'll have to sit in pit lane and wait. So that's always something you want to avoid. Tickford have managed to get through that. I reckon Mostert and Warren Luff are looking really good. They've got some great speed. The car's a little uneasy to drive, I think, but knock off a little bit of that pace from qualifying to the race and it'll be really well balanced. Warren Luff's got 5 podiums in the last 8 starts. You can't ignore that kind of co-driver performance. I've elevated Fabian Coulthard and Tony Delberto. I think they've been pretty close to the money with Scotty McLaughlin and Tim Slade. So I think we've got to say, you know, they're now contenders, not just a lucky contender. And my eighth one, or my last B grader, is actually Nick Percat and Thomas Randall. Providing the car's going to hold together. That's my only one worry there. I think they've got great speed. I think both of them are driving really well. Nick Percat's clearly stepped up his game this year to be one of the best in the field. And Thomas Randall is growing and evolving as a driver. So I think they're a really good shot as well.
That's your B graders?
Yep, that's it. B grade, done.
So
my C's and D's, Nev, they're the Smokies. They need a little bit of luck, I reckon, to get through.
Well, they're all Smokies. Otherwise, they wouldn't be C and D's.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So I'll tell you somebody who's impressed me all weekend, who heads the C graders, is Brody Kostecki. He's driving with Anton Di Pasquale, and he's been sensational, I reckon, for a guy with not heaps of experience, just lots of sim racing stuff. And we did talk to him on our eRacing X podcast earlier in the year, so he's a top bloke as well. But he's been really good, I reckon. And for a rookie, he's going to go really well, I think. So that's quite a good lineup. As I said before, though, my one worry is the straight line speed. And if they don't have enough straight line speed tomorrow, they're going to be gobbled up, and that will hurt them.
Even with the rain Straight line speed. I reckon the downforce is imperative when there's the rain. Otherwise, you're just not going to make it through. All right. You need that downforce. I don't think it's that relevant.
The last half of the race is going to be dry. So it's supposed to dry up around 2 o'clock.
Dude, it was supposed to be raining in the shootout and it didn't. So we don't know really.
No, we really don't know, but the chances are it's going to dry up, and I think that will leave them sitting ducks.
Yeah,
which is a bit of a problem. So they need luck. So maybe their luck is that it rains all day, and that makes them contenders. So that's what they're kind of looking for. Somebody else who I think's been really fast this weekend and improving this year as well is Andre Heimgartner with Dylan O'Keefe. So I've got them as C graders. James Courtney with Brock Feeney, providing Brock Feeney's not too shaken by his big Super 2 crash today. He's a rookie, so it's a bit of a risk for James Courtney, but we have seen rookies win before. I mean, Nick Percat was a rookie when he won in 2011, so I think that's what they're hoping for. And they're from the Tickford camp as well, so, we know the cars are good. Bryce Fullwood signed a new extension for his Walkinshaw deal this weekend and ran number two. He was second fastest yesterday. So he's been really good. He's been an eye-opener. He's got another Kostecki with him, Kirk Kostecki, but I think they're going to look pretty good. And I've got five in the C category because I like James LeBrock and James Moffat. Again, a Tickford car, but James Moffat's just been brilliant in the co-driver sessions. He's been their star, I think, of that grouping. So that brings them into serious contention.
So your D category, who's left?
Well, who's left? It's the Team 18 cars, Winterbottom and Golding and Pye and Fiore. I think they've got some speed, but they didn't qualify.
You don't think they've got any speed, otherwise you would put them in D. Keep going. Who else is in there?
Rick Kelly and Dale Wood.
Yeah, okay.
And Dave Reynolds and Will Brown.
Really? You don't think Dave Reynolds have a chance?
No, I don't think so.
They
don't seem to have any speed. I mean, he qualified 13th. Aside from the first session when he was fourth, he hasn't been in the top 10 for the rest of the weekend. So I just think they're not on it. Erebus is struggling. Anton's doing a better job with the package he's got than Dave Reynolds. So Anton jumps up a little bit, but I just think they're going to need a lot of luck to win.
Okay. So there's your A, B, C's and D's. Now I'm going to get you to give me the podium. Pick three.
Podium, I think Waters and Will Davison will win the race. I think they've got enough to carry it through. I think you'll see McLaughlin and Slade up there, and I'm going for an all-Mustang podium with Holdsworth and Caruso in the third slot.
Well, I'm going Waters and Will Davison, Holdsworth and Caruso, and Reynolds and Brown.
Wow, you've gone for the Smokies to get up.
Yeah, well, I reckon they can do that.
They can do it. They've done it before in that way as well.
We will all believe it's going to be wet tomorrow. They've got to get through the wet. I reckon,
half the field will go.
We're talking about tomorrow, right? Right now. I believe there is going to be more mayhem than we have seen for a long time. There is going to be a lot of cars going the wall. We've seen a lot of these co-drivers putting their cars in the fence, especially today, like the Super 2 / Super 3 race had three red flags. They didn't finish the race because people kept binning their cars. Right. So there's I reckon there's going to be a few safety cars. And if it's raining at the start, are they really going to start the co-drivers in the wet, or are they going to put the best drivers in there? Because the co-drivers may not even get through the wet period.
Yeah. And that's where it's great if you've got a co-driver the caliber of a Will Davison or the Tim Slade, Lowndes, Tandakot combinations. I mean, it's such a great asset to have a driver who
I'm even saying Craig Lowndes is too rusty. There's a chance he can put it in the fence. All those years when we thought that Larry Perkins wouldn't crash his car, puts it in the fence. Jim Richards, driver for HRT, doing really good, puts it in the fence. Sooner or later, they have something like that. And I reckon one of those is coming for Craig.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at it, I mean, Mark Scaife and Greg Murphy both said like 2 years out of the main seat, they were finding it hard. They knew they were losing their touch. It's 2 years out of the main seat now for Lowndes, and he hasn't done much this year. Like last year, at least, he was doing practice miles you know, during race weekends. He was in the car doing things. This year, he's done nothing.
That's
and the same with Tander.
They all haven't done miles. The only ones that kind of done any miles is Will Davison. That's right.
Exactly, and that's why I think it's a bonus, isn't it, that he's the last man out of a seat. So, you know, Cam Waters has the freshest of all the co-drivers, and I reckon that is such a plus tomorrow when it's going to be all over the place. Like, we know it's going to rain. We know that everything can happen. As you say, there are going to be cars hitting the wall. There are going to be cars doing stupid things. A guy like Will Davison is smart enough to keep that car clean, and he's fresh enough to keep it clean.
Now, this goes with Davey Reynolds. He's got Will Brown as his co-driver. He won the Super 2 race today. So I just think that there's co-drivers that are on it. They're all on it because you're not a slouch if you're doing laps at Bathurst. I tell you what, right? Otherwise, you and I get a freaking drive there. But the fact is that some of these guys are going to struggle because they're just too rusty.
And it's a huge factor. And obviously, when they chose their co-drivers at the start of the year, no one knew that COVID was going to hit and do what it did to our racing season. So, it's going to be a factor. And I think, you'll know the ones who are in trouble because they'll be the ones looking to get their co-driver out at exactly the 54 laps that the co-driver
Yes.
And as I say, I think you'll find, the ones like, Cam Waters with Will Davison, Scotty McLaughlin with Tim Slade. Tim Slade was running all the way up till December and he's run a couple of other races this year. So they're as fresh as you're going to get out of the seat. And so they'll be good. But, a guy like Warren Luff, he's an expert at this. He's an expert at doing just one or two races a year and being switched on for it. So you got to admire that part of him as well. But he's been doing that for a long time. I think your Lowndes and your Tanders, who were superstars of the sport, struggle a little bit more.
Done no miles. So you could be right. Done nothing. Maybe a little bit of TCR.
Yep, you could be spot on the money there, Nev. It's, you'd start to get rusty the longer you're out of the seat.
Okay, well, that's my crystal ball. That's your crystal ball. The weather.
So interestingly, our crystal balls first, Nev. Our crystal balls are both saying the Tickford cars are looking real good. We've got
at least
two cars on the podium.
Yeah, and
they are cruising those cars. They are so beautifully balanced. They haven't done much work to them. There's been no dramas. That doesn't mean there won't be big dramas tomorrow. I mean, we've seen all sorts of things happen to contenders, but they've just looked so good and so controlled and so onto it. I mean, so impressed with how they've gone so far, that squad.
Well, okay, that's our crystal balls. that's our crystal balling.
Walk delicately.
Now, what's the weather tomorrow? It's 11. It's 11 a.m. start, not 11:30. But most people who have been switching on to the telecast would have probably been told that by now. But what are we looking at it weather-wise?
Yep, they brought it forward by half an hour, of course, because the rain looks like it's so catastrophically
potentially
bad.
Potentially, it could be dry tomorrow too.
Yeah, it could be. Anything's possible.
What percentage?
What we're looking at, Nev. It's a 49% chance of rain at 11 a.m.
That's going to be more dry than wet.
66% at 12, 66% at 1 p.m.
Yep.
And then it drops 8% at 2 p.m., dropping down to 5% at 6 p.m. So
really?
Deluge, so wet early, drying up.
Wet early, and then it's dropping off by 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so halfway through the race.
It's halfway through. So does this mean the co-drivers, if they start the race, how long does it take to do their 50, how many laps they've got to do before they've got to get out of the car? If they want to start the race and then do all the laps before they got out of the car, how long would that take?
Well, they won't triple stint. So they would need to triple stint to get it out of the way first off, because we do about 23 laps. So that'll give you 46 laps. So then you've got to do a half stint. So they're really doing 2.5 stints. So I think what you'll find is, depending on how bad the weather is, the main guys are going to start their co-drivers. They're absolutely going to do that.
Even in the wet. If it's wet, they're going to start the co-drivers.
Absolutely.
Yep. Some of these main game drivers aren't going to even get in their car then.
No. I know. That's always
can't
the
wait.
I always wondered why you start your co-drivers for the biggest race of the year. I would have thought that's the one thing you don't want being cocked up by somebody who's not experienced. The same as the Gold Coast when they're running up there. Like, why start co-drivers there? We know it's disaster waiting. So you could be right, you know, maybe the weather will change a few people's minds, but they were allowed to do practice starts after the second practice session today, and there weren't many people where the main driver was doing the practice starts. It was mostly the co-drivers. So I think you'll find Scott McLaughlin did his practice start, for instance, so he might start the race, but Will Davison did the start in the Mostert car, so and Lowndes and Tander did it in the Red Bull cars.
Well, it'd be interesting to know what fans think about co-drivers starting Bathurst. Are they happy the co-drivers start Bathurst, or would you like supercars to mandate that the main game drivers actually have to start the race? Imagine if they said they had to start the race and finish the race. Imagine that.
I know, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But yeah, there's some merit to it, because you think we're always talking like, here comes Lowndes on the first lap or whoever, you know, and then you got to think, oh no, it's not. He's got the green light on. It's the other bloke.
It's the other bloke, yeah.
It's the other bloke. Oh, what was his name again?
I'm doing the same. Oh, it's not Lowndes. It's the other guy, or it's not so and so. It's the other guy.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, it could be a way to go. They might, yeah, it might be sort of thing. But I think, yeah, it will be interesting. I wouldn't be I'd not be fussed if I was Cam Waters. I reckon Will Davison can more than hold his end up in the rain. I'd be pretty confident about Tim Slade at the moment, although, you know, he's always been a bit flighty even when he was driving the full time. So, you know, anything's possible there. And Caruso seems to be a really steady hand as well. So I think you'll see they'll all start and they'll do one or two stints. If it stays raining, they're more than likely to keep them in for the two stints, because they're used to the conditions, they're used to everything. So give them their two stints, drop the main guy in for, you know, one or two stints, give him a half stint, or a, you know, sort of, if we get a safety car at the right time and we know it's sort of splitting it up to a half, then they'll drop them in to do that extra half bit.
Well,
and then we'll probably two or three stint the trip home.
Well, I'd like it to start dry and then rain. That's always
I just
better.
Like it when it rains, doesn't rain, you know, dries up, doesn't dry. Yeah. You know, that's what we want.
Rain on top of the mountain, dry on the bottom, love all that stuff.
I know.
That's the best.
The classic, isn't it? That's the classic. So, yeah. But, you know, it could still happen. Who knows? I mean, it's Mount Panorama. Anything can happen. And as I say, the mountain chooses its winner. And one of the ways it chooses its winner is by the weather.
And wildlife. Wildlife this year. People haven't talked much about wildlife this year, but people not camping on the top of the mountain, there's a chance that more kangaroos and stuff are going to be jumping around, just as a bit of a side note for folks.
Yeah, no, they're saying that the kangaroos, there's not many of them around because the grass is so green that they're not hunting for new soil, so they're not coming anywhere near the track at the moment.
That makes sense. Okay, well, Clarky, thank you for filling us in with the latest. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Remember, 11 a.m. tomorrow, Sunday, the 18th of October, is the start of the Bathurst 1000. And if I'm like you guys, I'll be there watching it with everybody else. So thanks for joining us.
I'll be on my couch watching. So, all the preliminaries are done. The rain held off and we were treated to a stunning shootout. Cam Waters' lap was sublime. He dominated the field to grab pole by a massive 0.4429 seconds from the pole master Scott McLaughlin. The Tickford racing driver will sleep well tonight knowing he has both the speed and one of the best co-drivers in the game. Sunday could be his day. But as we know, Bathurst doesn't always go to plan, and he first has to cope with the weather, which is tipped to drench the opening couple of hours before a dry second half will challenge the setups. We've got 8 contenders and 9 smokies. We'll see how much we really know on Sunday night then. First though, we need a big sleep for the 11 a.m. kickoff for the great race and the best day of the year.